Well, it's lovely to be with you this morning. Am I okay? Everyone's able to hear me? That's fine. Right. It's lovely to be with you. And a lovely drive over from Fairford this morning. It's interesting to think of our own church in Fairford and compare you. We're almost the same size, I would say, and the same number in the congregation. So it's lovely to feel that. Coming together in the Lord on this Palm Sunday. And you all have your palm crosses. Ours is in the kitchen, actually, just above the kitchen sink. But as we look at this passage, it's a beautiful passage. It's a wonderful passage to meditate on. And all four gospel writers refer to the day, this particular day, when Christ rode in triumph into Jerusalem. On foot a great deal, if you think about it. And somebody said, many a dirty, weary step he has taken when he bent about doing good. But on this one occasion, he rode in triumph when he went into Jerusalem to suffer and die. And the way in which he is riding, or going to ride, was very poor and very ordinary. They came to Bethphage, as we've heard read, where the road led towards the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples to fetch an ass, or a donkey, and her colt. Asses were used in that day for travel. Horses were kept only by great men and for war. So this animal did not belong to Jesus. It was a borrowed means of transport. He had nothing in this world's goods, but what was given to him or what he borrowed. He went out on the Sea of from a borrowed boat. At the Passover, he borrowed the upper room. He was buried in a borrowed grave, and here he rode on a borrowed ass, an animal which is a classic representation of humility and a humble beast of burden. Now, some of you will remember that I teach French and Spanish, and I remember being in Galicia in northern Spain, just above Portugal in 1992. And I think Galicia was just about coming out of the medieval ages because it was pretty grim up there. A little bit by Brittany in the 1960s. France seemed to have forgotten about Brittany and Spain seemed to have forgotten about Galicia in spite of the fact that Franco was Galician. And the people were coming home from the... We had a group of sixth formers with us in a minibus, and we were visiting a college there. And I was driving this minibus across northern France, and we were there for a few days, and they were showing us around. And as we were coming back one evening, we were walking. On the other side of the road, there were about five or six farmers, and they each were carrying full-size scythes. And these scythes had blades, which were about... 3.5, 4 feet long. And they were carrying them in a very special position across their shoulder, and they were walking in single file about 10 feet from each other because of the sheer size of the blades. And by their side, there were donkeys, and you couldn't see the donkey. They'd been scything grass, which was green grass. And all you could see was the donkey's little head and the two little feet. The grass must have been about 3 feet high on the back of the donkeys, and they positioned it very, very carefully. So you see this little kind of pile of grass going along with little legs and a head, and no complaining. A little donkey taking its burden. Never a murmur from such a humble creature. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And in Isaiah 9:6, among his many wonderful attributes, we read that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There is a calmness and a serenity. There is a self-possession about his bearing as he rides this humble little donkey. And what an interesting animal to choose. Now, when I was in school, we had an English teacher who was very strong on memorization. And we had to memorize a poem every lesson, otherwise we were in detention. Because the lesson was the last lesson of the day, and detention started at 4 o'clock until 5. It was a boys' grammar school. Rowan Williams was 2 years younger than me. And so we had to memorize things. Otherwise, we stayed. So we learnt very quickly how to memorize. And one of the poems that we had to memorize was G.K. Chesterton's The Donkey. Oh, some of you are nodding. And it's quite an interesting poem, which I remember parts of it, but I'm not going to recite it, I'm going to read it. But listen to the fourth verse. When fishes flew and forests walked and figs grew up, some moment when the moon was blood, then surely I was born. With monstrous head and sickening cry, and ears like errant wings, the devil's walking parody on all four-footed things. The tattered outlaw of the earth, of ancient crooked will, deride me. My hour, one far fierce hour sweet. There was a shout about my ears and pounds before my feet. How lovely that this humble creature was chosen by Jesus. And he, of course, in extraordinary humility, humbled himself even to death. He wasn't afraid of his power and the malice of his enemies in Jerusalem. He did not sneak into the city incognito, as one that dare not show his face. We can see in verses 4 and 5 of that chapter that the scriptures were going to be fulfilled of Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Here we see how Jesus is meek and sitting upon an ass. It's interesting because that means that he is easy of access, easy to be entreated. His government will be mild and gentle, and his laws are not written in the blood of his subjects, but in the blood of himself. His yoke is easy. The ass moves slowly but surely, and it is safe and constant. Jesus did not come on a prancing horse, which the shy or the timid seeker does not come near, or a running horse, which the slow-footed seeker cannot keep pace with, but on a quiet donkey, so that the poorest of his subjects may not be discouraged in their access to him. There was not so much as a saddle for the ass, but the disciples threw some of their clothes upon it, providing the best that they had, and did not object to their clothes being spoilt. Christ is honored by the multitude more than any magnificence. He values men and women by their souls, not by their names or the titles of honor. The crowd wishes to honor Christ, and they spread their garments on the road. According to John chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, much people that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees. It's the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And these were not the people of Jerusalem. They were those who had come in from the country. These were not rulers and dignitaries, but the common people. Perhaps they had heard of Jesus and admired him. Perhaps they were those who were more devout Jews that had come up to the feast before to purify themselves, that they were more inclined to religion than their neighbors. And these were the ones who were wanting so much to honor Jesus. They had inquired of him. In John chapter 11, verses 55 and 56, we read, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple courts, they asked one another, what do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all? So how do we express our respect for Christ? What honor and dignity do we give him? Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've had Hope Explored in Letchley Baptist Church. I live in Fairford, but I'm secretary of the church there in Letchley Baptist. And Hope Explored is a kind of cut-down version of Christianity Explored. And it was very interesting because we didn't know how many people were going to come. We wanted to take the very simple course. It's only three sessions. First was on hope, the second was on peace, the third was on purpose. And it was very, very much around the Lord being the Prince of Peace and giving great hope, the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, that wonderful verse from Isaiah. And so we wondered how many people would come. And there were about 10 of us praying together, preparing the materials. And so we'd invited a lot of people from our cafes. We have two cafes a week, one on Saturday from 10 to 12, and one on, which is a general cafe. We had about 33 there yesterday. And like I said, our premises are about the same size as yours, so we really had every table filled. And then there's the Thursday cafe, which is working for well-being. And that is also opportunities for people to ask about problems with loneliness, mental problems, problems using an ATM machine, any situation from the point of view of the social services as well, if we can help. We get about 25 people there every week. And people come in, people go out, et cetera, et cetera. We have a double door like you, which we open up, and it gives right onto the road going outside. We have a very, very long path, which will probably be as far as that house there. But people come up the path, and they have a good look in, and then they kind of think that they might come in a little bit further, et cetera. And so we wondered how many people were going to come. As it was, about 7 extra people came from the conversations that we had had and the invitations that we had made. And it was a very good session. The second session was even more interesting because some people didn't come, but the other people stayed, and then new people came. So all in all, we had probably about 13 new people listening to the gospel and asking questions. We had one gentleman there who was a Quaker and who would have said that he was a Christian Quaker, because a lot of Quakers are not Christians. And we had a very interesting conversation about sin. And of course, Rico Tice, who was on the videos, had talked about sin. That particular session was about the resurrection. The second session was about the crucifixion. And we had been talking about sin. And he said, I don't think you should talk about sin. I think you should talk about love. The question being then, well, why did Christ die? You know. But he didn't seem to be put off by that. But it was very interesting. And there was a dear gentleman who was actually preaching in the church this morning, Jeff. His wife is called Hope. And they're there this morning. And he had brought this gentleman in, because he'd been talking to him as well. And he said it was a good conversation because he was in the conversation as well. And how do you respect Christ? How do you reflect Christ in your conversation? It's a very good question, because these people wanted to honor Jesus. They wanted to prepare for him. And it was very, very interesting. One lady, I'll give you her name because you probably want me to. Her name was Dawn. And Dawn had had problems. My wife and I'd chat with her at home. And she'd come to the services and she was starting to come more regularly. And she came to Hope Explored. And she said, I've had questions answered during this session, she said, that I've wanted answers for years. And nobody's given me the answers. And it might be a combination of her just being shy. And as I said, Jesus is very approachable. And we need to be approachable, don't we? And there were other people as well that came. Some very interesting conversations. Mary Ann has had quite a difficult time. She's got a son, a 20-year-old son, who's a mental age of a 5-year-old. And then there have been other things happening in the family as well. And she has come to all three long conversations with her during the times. Because very often, we've said in Hope Explored, you can come, you can say nothing, or you can talk your head off. Well, Marianne decided to talk her head off. And but yesterday in Beans, she went into the vestry and took out a whole series of tracts, a whole series of different things that we had there available. And then, I'm going to say this now to David particularly. Dawn had been to the sessions, and she told me on last Sunday, she said, I woke up in the middle of the night, and normally I read a book. I've got a novel which I normally read, but instead of that, I read my Gideon New Testament. And she said, why did I do that? Why did I do that? And I said, because God is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, Dawn. And it's wonderful to feel that there is a conversations going on And as Thomas said about these palm crosses here, the possibility of somebody saying yes. Oh, that's very interesting. Yes, I will take that. And hooks that just hook you into conversations and links that take you on to inviting the person under the sound of the gospel. So do we honor the Lord with our time, with our finance, with our service, reading the word every day, spending time in prayer, in petition, in praise, and in worship. It's good to examine ourselves as we approach Easter. And how much progress have we made since Easter 2024? I've got a word down here, pause. Pause. So 24, I've had, because I've got a heart murmur now, and so we talk about that quite a lot, etc., etc. I've had to ease off various things because of my health situations, and my wife as well, etc., etc. But on the other hand, the Lord gives us fresh opportunities and fresh situations in order to work in his vineyard. Some of the people cut the branches from the trees and laid them on the road, as they used to at the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a sign of liberty, victory, and joy. They shouted Hosanna, as we've been singing Hosanna. And in verse 9, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna signifies, save now, we beseech you, referring to Psalm 118, verses 26 and following. And other scriptures come to mind, such as Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Any of you know Handel's Messiah, then you will know these. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. And the Hosannas represent two things. Welcoming Jesus' kingdom, and we have reference to this in Psalm 72, verse 17. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All nations shall call him blessed. And this is the genuine language of faith. They earnestly desire that it might be a victorious kingdom. If they understood it was a kingdom that was going to be established straight away, they were mistaken. This was going to be a heavenly kingdom. The kingdom of God was to be in the hearts of people. And it's our duty earnestly to desire and pray for the prosperity and success of Christ's kingdom in the world. And that's what we mean when we pray, Thy kingdom come, in the Lord's Prayer. How do you change the world? You change it one person at a time. You change the heart of a person. You change the hearts one at a time. That's how you change a church. That's how you change a society. That's how you change a kingdom. And secondly, they added, Hosanna in the highest. Let him have a name above every name, a throne above every throne. Anne and I were visiting the Forest of Dean for the first time 2 weeks ago. We're having a break. We all need breaks. And we thought we'd go to a little Baptist church in Lidbrook. I don't know if you know Lidbrook, Lidbrook Baptist Church. Well, we went there and we had a lovely time. And Tony was the secretary there. I don't know if you know Tony. No, you don't know Tony. So afterwards, he told us about the witches. There's a coven of witches in the Forest of Dean, at least one. And the main witch was next to the church. And he said, do you see that cockerel on that roof? That's a sign of a witch. And the witch had come to the church and said, we've closed four churches. We're going to close yours now. There is terrific opposition. It has a name above all. Kings. When it comes to the enemy is very strong. Let's recognize that. The enemy is very strong. Let's also remember that he is stronger. And he is the strong man who binds the person. Then he can do no more. And so let's remember that. Hosanna in the highest. We serve not only a risen Savior, but one who is at the right hand of the majesty on high. So verse 10, when he came into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Some with wonder at the novelty of the thing, others with laughter at the simplicity of it, with joy, others, Pharisees, and And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 39 and 40, we read, some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry. Whether men praise Christ or not, he will and shall and must be praised. Pharisees wished to silence the praises of Christ, but they could not stop them. So various are the reactions and the minds of men and women upon the approach of different people. And loves to go from seed at this time. She's always the and she's getting the chitting for the potatoes. They're coming on quite nicely. And the various seeds that she's planted, she had all eight, one. Fascinating. They were all in the same package. All looked the same. Everyone, all the others, growing. Two tomato plants. And it hasn't rained, of course, for a long time. We're all waiting. So she goes out into the from time to time. And they're out, etc. Then we went to the dean and we came back. Whoo! They've grown. Extraordinary. Good grief. Look at that. We have a hollyhock. We were in France about 2 or 3 years ago. Hollyhocks in France grow in the gutter. They grow in cracks. One has decided to grow in our front garden. I didn't plant it. And every year I mow it absolutely flat to the ground. Absolutely flat as can be. And there it is, lovely. There, be Monday or Tuesday mornings, etc. Wednesday, it's even bigger. Extraordinary. Some things you just can't keep down. And then other things. Good grief, this person's come to church. They've heard the gospel, stories, people. Nothing. People, you think. Well, they can sit over there, you know, a little bit, you know, difficult, awkward, etc. And they come through. And you can chat to them and they can open up and they become completely different people. And they come under the sound of the gospel, sound that the Lord died for them. They've been forgiven. They've been received mercy. They've received grace. No matter what people. And they find out that Jesus spoke to prostitutes and people who were betraying the country, the tax collectors and so on and so forth, and loved them, told them the truth about themselves. Oh, came through. How extraordinary it is, the different reactions that people have.
So, those are the various reactions. And we also told that the citizens
said, in the holy city. Strange, isn't it? In the places where the clearest light shines and the greatest profession of religion is made, there can be more ignorance than we are aware of. Inquisitive concerning him. Who is the King of Glory? In various churches, we are so saddened by what seems to be the moral decline, not only of the individual, but of the decisions that people are supposedly making. Gospel is. And unfortunately, many churches we have another gospel, which is not the gospel. And it's very, very sad to see where there should be light and there is confusion and darkness. The multitude answered them, this is Jesus. The account they gave, they were right in calling him a prophet, the great prophet. They added something that said he was from Nazareth. Now, in Jesus' time, Nazareth was a small, insignificant town. It was considered a place where nothing good could come from, leading to the inhabitants of the town and its food with disdain. You know, people said, where are you going on Sunday? No, you're not with us. Oh, where? To explain, I still don't know where it is. Is it exactly? I've never heard, you know. But good things can come out of twinning. Yes? I'd never heard of Fairford before we moved there. The world can just... And yet, things can come out of it. I don't know where you met your wife or your husband, or where you had your children, or where you had your But did you plan it, that you were going to be there? It happened, but it happened, and it was strange, isn't it? We all think that we can organize our lives from so many different areas. We meet people, and we're never going to meet them again. We had a lovely couple come to us one, it was November, and they were coming for a Christmas wedding from Australia. His name was David. I can't remember his wife's name now. It was two Christmas. No, this was here. I said, well, yes, we've been here for the last 14 years. They said, oh, we've got a rented accommodation around the corner. And it was their daughter's wedding. But they're getting married after Christmas. We're just enjoying Christmas with them. And they came to the services for about 5 weeks. It was wonderful. And they really enjoyed us and came in. Thing it was. We meet people as we walk the way, and we chat with them in a train or whatever, and we remember that conversation that we had. What a blessing they were. We understood that we were both loving the Lord Jesus. And the communication as if we were family. And then we'll never see them again. We'll see them in glory. So the Lord. So here we have someone from Nazareth, someone who, so to speak, is not really all that important.
The extra information was true about
Jesus, but taken as a mark of inferiority, pompous Pharisees and scribes, so set on destroying Jesus' ministry and influence on the people. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't like him at all. Politically, he was dangerous. Very, very dangerous indeed. And he could really disturb the very, very nice balance. Now he could really rock the boat. We're getting on fine with the Romans. They're allowing us to have our station, to have all of our superiority. We've got our own temple garden. Everything is going along well. We've got this troublemaker here. We're going to keep our eye on him. We're going to deal with him. And so things are today. It's exactly the same today, isn't it? Are there any issues, I wonder, in the Christian faith where you feel that there is a sense of criticism of Jesus because he has not been spoken of or preached or referred to as he should be? How great the damage is if we do not clarify to people the details of Jesus' ministry and person. You meet people who've been under certain ministries and the ministry has not been a whole ministry. You know the story. I don't know if it's apocryphal. It could be real. This lady who went to church. And every time she went to church, there was a new minister. And every time she came to services, he realized that her Bible was getting thinner and thinner. And eventually, he couldn't put up with it. And he went to her. He said, your Bible's getting thinner and thinner every time you come to my services. She said, oh, yes. Every time you said something wasn't actually true, I used to tear the page out. A lot of people sitting under a very, very thin ministry, a real gruel, a real thin kind of ministry of the gospel, where certain key words are mentioned, but there's no power. There's no power. There's no strength. There's no authority. There's no assurance. There's no assurance that these things are real. These things really happened. I'm reading a book called Dominion by Tom Holland, and it's The Making of the Western Mind. The Making of the Western Mind. It's all based on Christianity. It's extraordinary. And he started writing the book, and he wasn't saved. By the time he'd finished writing the book, he was saved. And he followed the actual influence of Christianity on 2,000 years of history. It's fascinating. It's amazing. It's miraculous. Something happened 2,000 years ago, and the calendar flipped. Everything changed. BC became AD. And here we are. We shouldn't really be here, you know. The Roman Empire was a meat grinder. It ground up anything and everything which was in its way. It's extraordinary. It's miraculous that we're here. Just simply that we are here, let alone what happened and transformed things. You hear all this, I presume, next Sunday as well. But this is what we're anticipating. It's wonderful. But the most dangerous thing is to actually have another gospel where certain things are extracted. Like, let's get rid of sin. That'll make people like us. Really? Will it? We'll just be like the world. And they'll just kind of look at us, chew us a little bit, and then spit us out. They'll say, you're just like all the others. Boring. I'll go on and do something a little bit more adventurous. The most adventurous thing you can do, my dear friend, is understand that you need a savior and transform your life. That is the most adventurous thing that you could possibly do. That you could possibly do. And the greatest gift that you can give is to speak the truth to your children and to your grandchildren. And if they say no, commitment to the Lord, that's okay. We understand. God has no grandchildren. Everyone has to be born again. Right. Keep on praying for your grandchildren. Our youngest grandchild's being baptized 2 weeks today. I don't know whether we're going to be able to stand it. We're supposed to be praying there as well. That'll be in Cirencester Baptist Church. They have 450 people there. But there again, we want everybody there to be involved and everyone to understand that this is a very personal and yet shared thing. Be careful of people who talk about the gospel but don't give you the full gospel. It's not moral. It's not just moral. It's not just ethical. It's not just a good idea. It's not just very good for children or the community, etc., etc. It's personal. Once it's personal, then it's okay. Our Father becomes my Father. Our God becomes my God. The Savior becomes my Savior. It's personal. That's the most important thing. If it isn't, then one needs to go back on one's knees and ask the Lord to make it personal. Always remember, we are the crowd. We are the crowd, or rather we are among the crowd, and we can either see, and we can either clarify to people who Jesus really is, or we can confuse them if we're not careful, or even confuse the faith of fellow Christians. There are very, very good books. There are very, very good leaflets. We have a little book coming called Ultimate Questions by John Blanchard. And that answers a lot of very, very honest questions with honest answers. As we approach Good Friday and Easter Day, let's be very aware that people have their eyes on us. Oh, yes, they do. There's one chap who comes to our cafe called Stuart. He's a real Scot. And he's as dry as an old bone. And he sits there and he drinks his weak tea. I always call it fortnight, yeah. Fortnight tea. And I would say, you want your fortnight tea, Stuart? I don't have my fortnight tea or something. And he sits there and he has the text, he has the invitations, he has everything, and he never comes. He never comes. And then from time to time, you get a little comment. You get a little comment and you think, he's been listening. It'll be maybe a long time, it might be a short time, I don't know. But he still comes to the cafes and he still doesn't mind things. So it's very important for us to give people the full story. May put some people off, and that is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, there were certain circumstances when I used to have to take children abroad, sick formers abroad, to do work experience in France and Spain. And I had to tell them the whole story. I would say, now look, you're going to be traveling on the Bay of Biscay. You're going to be, you'll arrive at Santander. You're all going to go into schools. You're all going to be TAs in schools with young children. The young children don't know the meaning of, shut up, I can't understand you. So they're going to be carrying on talking in Spanish to you. You're going to be there for 2 weeks. You're going to have this particular partner. You're going to have different food and so on. Tell them the whole story. Otherwise they say, sir, I didn't expect this. You have to tell them as much as possible. And very, very often it was the people that were willing to try something different that were transformed. We had certain people who changed from biology and did Spanish A-level because in the lower sixth in those days you could do four subjects and you had to drop one. So we used to take them to France or whatever and see whether they really would enjoy it, etc. And many did that because of that personal contact, the actual full, the full thing, the full story. We had to tell them the truth about everything in order for them to really say, okay, it's challenging, but I'll enter into it. And they were very brave, and they actually did all these things. And there were a lot of very, very good results. It's the same with Christianity. You have to tell the whole story. A.W. Tozer said, "Oh, that all the enemies were outside the church." And many enemies inside the church, and a lot of enemies inside the church are just a thin, you know, it's a terrible verse in Scripture. It's the most frightening verse in Scripture, I think. It's about the children of Israel, where God gave them up to their own devices, but he sent leanness into their soul. He sent leanness into their soul. There wasn't a muscle there. It was wasted away. It was kind of useless. And the Lord needs to remind us, he is reminding us, that we need to be 100%. There's a lovely cake here. My sister-in-law, Margaret, made it on Thursday, and it came out on Friday, and it was ready on Saturday. With a lovely Victoria sponge. Beautiful, lovely thick, lovely rising. She got a new oven. And very, very nice indeed. But there's 1% of it is poison. 1% of it is poison. It wasn't actually, I'm just making that up. But if you have 1% poison, are you going to eat the cake? The answer is no. Why? Because you're not stupid. The same thing. You cannot have the gospel with 1% of the world. A.W. Tozer said, if you told more people that, less people would be in the church, but they'd stick. They'd stick. They would know the whole story, and they would have received the whole blessing, and that would have given them that sense of assurance to stay there. So indeed, this is, we are letters written of all men. People have got their eye on us. They do listen to what we say, believe it or not, even if they think they're reading a newspaper or a magazine. I go to one particular church, and the gentleman reads The Week. I don't know if you know the magazine called The Week. Yep. He reads The Week while I'm speaking. But he's been listening all the while. I know, because I go up to him, I say, I have that as well. And I said, so-and-so. And then his wife will say, yes, he has been listening, and so on and so forth. I won't say which church it is. So we are letters read of all men, according to 2 Corinthians 3:2. Opportunity now for us to invite friends and neighbors to come down to the gospel, just like Tom said. You've got an excuse now. You've got that palm, yeah? Little palm there. So now for a few questions. You can tell I'm a teacher. When you feel weary and heavy laden, do you go to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you feel the access into his presence in prayer made easier by his